Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Richard Moffat from Urban Logistics REIT. This is Christopher Turner, who is also on the board and runs the asset management side of the business. We'll come on to our track record in a minute, but to begin with, it's probably just helpful to explain exactly what we do, because obviously the world of logistics has become increasingly popular and increasingly covered by the press and the growth in e-commerce, and not just in B2C but also B2B has become ever greater. So just to make it very simple, and apologize if some of you know all of this, but basically in a recent past, the whole sector was basically treated as one from an investment property perspective. So you had both large and small industrial estates in one part of the market. You had industrial processes going on in certain buildings, in others. You had large big box regional and national distribution centers as another subspecies, if you like. And then more recently, we started to have these smaller boxes, which we call last mile delivery hubs. And the simple reason that we are in this space was basically started from an observation I had in the sort of 2014-15 period, when the big box strategy was becoming ever clearer, and Tritax obviously have led the way in that. And I've personally done an awful lot in that space historically. But what I could see was that most of the capital market investors were actually going to a larger lot size place. And conveniently and interestingly, the actual demand for the product was greater in those smaller buildings. So actually, that led us to focus on buildings of less than 200,000 square feet, 20,000 square meters, and therefore typically less than £10 million. At the time, net initial yields, which we talked to, were actually a full percentage point different between 10 mil plus lot sizes and 10 mil minus. And bear in mind, at the same time, the greatest occupational demand was in this smaller space. So you can see why it was interesting. So we're not about multi-let, which is what Hansteen and Warehouse REIT do. We're absolutely about single-let buildings serving last mile. Now, last mile, I should just point out, for those that don't know, is the last point at which a product is stored before it goes to your home or your business. And therefore, really, it's probably more last 10 miles or 15 miles than it is actually last mile. But nevertheless, we're stuck with this connotation now. So we've got very strong demand, very limited supply. Why have we got limited supply? We've got limited supply because in urban areas, typically these buildings or these sites have been swallowed up for residential development or other higher value development. So we've seen a huge land take. In Greater London, I've seen some figures recently suggesting that 35 to 40% of the industrial or warehousing land has gone in the last 10 years, which won't surprise any of us. So we're very much targeting e-commerce, e-fulfillment type occupiers. We're very, very focused on the types of occupiers we have in our buildings. And just to give you an idea, over 80% of our revenue comes from covenants or companies Experian rated over 95 out of 100. So these, as against the multi-let space, these are proper, proper businesses with proper balance sheets. And we're very forensic about who we take on. So stringent acquisition criteria, assets bought at 30 to 70% of replacement cost. And that we know is something which, if we adhere to that, that would have seen us through three previous downturns that we've been aware of. We're looking for below market rents with high reversionary potential. So to give you an idea, our passing rent currently is £4.90 per square foot, and our estimated rental value is over six. So you can see the general trajectory of our rents is upwards. We'd like to think we're a skilled team that have been around for a very long time, and I'll come on to that in a minute. We're focusing on tenants who are shifting staple and essential goods. So we like food, pharmaceuticals, machine parts, building supply materials, those things that we need every day as a UK economy. UK domestics, if you like, is very much what we're about. 80% of our tenants' credit score, as I said, we've touched on that. We're very collaborative in terms of our approach. Christopher will see our tenants at least three times, bless you, every year. We will speak to them once a month without fail. And because essentially our management piece is very straightforward, where management time is taken up in other parts of the world or other parts of our property world is with this thing called service charge. Tenants will pay it in good economic times and they won't pay it in bad. And it takes a lot of people to calculate these service charges all of the time. We're about one lease, four rent checks per year, paid by direct debit, no service charge. So very straightforward. All of our energies are focused on the occupier and what we can do to make his or her use of the building better. So very collaborative, and we're looking to transform that reversionary potential in the rent going forward into contracted income. We're targeting a 10-15% total return. When Christopher and I sat down with investors in the beginning of 2015, they all said it wasn't possible. There were lots of questions over our ability to deliver it. We have delivered it 2 years in a row, and we're about to announce our third-year results, and I don't think anybody will be disappointed. Just on debt, we typically operate between a 35-40% LTV range. We feel more comforted also by the fact that because we're buying undervalued product, that's 35-40% of a lowly valued product anyway. That's distinct from a very highly valued product maybe available in the market today. And therefore, we feel particularly comfortable at that sort of level. I mean, we think we've got 4.5x interest cover, Christopher?
4.5, yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of the manager, very experienced. Christopher and I have both been around for over 25 years. In the past, I set up a business in 2000, focusing entirely on this space. Sold that to CBRE in 2010. Ran the logistics team at CBRE for 5 years, and then was approached by Sir John Beckwith at the end of 2015, when he basically wanted to get into the sector. Christopher joined me. He also has vast experience in the asset management side of things. Nigel Rich, non-exec chairman of SEGRO, and oversaw their rise from about 2 billion to, I think, 5 billion market cap by the time he retired. Jonathan Gray, huge experience. Bruce Anderson, who I first came across when he was at Bank of Scotland and was one of the equity investors in Rosemount Developments, one of the top equity, sorry, one of the top warehouse developers in the UK. Mark Johnson, who is Sir John Beckwith's representative. So you can see a pretty experienced bunch. We have been trading at a slight discount to NAV, which is a huge frustration for us, as you can imagine. Nevertheless, we have recently been receiving some better coverage as people seem to realize that we are very, very focused in what we do. We're very clear about what we do, and we're seeing those results come through. In fact, actually, this piece, the Questa column on the Daily Telegraph, was actually written by one of our equity investors. So our portfolio can be neatly encapsulated in this page, really. We're typically running at a weighted average unexpired lease term of about 5.5 years currently. We think that's a good blend between longer dated income that gives us security and the ability to get lease events which allow us to move rents on. What I would say is across our portfolio, tenants on average have been in occupation of our buildings for 19 years. So they keep rolling on. Why do they do that? They do that because the background today is that new space is ever more expensive. And they do it because the Chartered Institute of Logistics and Transport will tell you that it costs about 4 million pounds to move a 100,000 sq ft operation. It is not like moving house. It is an expensive and complicated transaction very often, you know, HR costs and all the rest of it. So our tenants are very sticky, very loyal, and as part of that, our due diligence, we want to know exactly what our tenants are doing in the building, which sounds obvious, but how mission critical is that building to their operation? Those are the fundamental questions we need to know the answer to. Tenant diversity, a third of our tenants broadly, third-party logistics operators, the like of which DHL, XPO Logistics, and so on. And because there's been a huge amount of M&A activity in that space, we've pretty much got to accept that DHL and XPO are the two global brands that will allow to be circa 10% of our revenue. Anyone else would want to have below 5. SMEs. By SME, I mean still very sizable businesses. You don't occupy 100,000 square feet if you've got a very small family undertaker business or whatever. You know, we've got people who've been around for 100 years. I'm thinking of one that we've got up in Bedford, 25 million shareholders' funds. They make 7 million EBIT every year and they pay us 400,000 a year. We've got absolutely no problem with them whatsoever. That's the sort of SME we have. And the other third are the FTSEs, the large corporates. So in terms of top 10 assets by market value, you can see on the right-hand side, those rents are pretty low. This one is one we've only just agreed. And we'll come on to talk about that in a minute, and I'll explain to you why we're still holding it after agreeing the rent at £6. All of the rest have got a lot of movement in them. Looking at the geography on the right-hand side, you can see fundamentally the vast majority of our portfolio is located in the Midlands, in the Golden Triangle, as we call it. It's called the Golden Triangle because over 85% of the UK population can be reached within a 4.5-hour HGV drive time. That's still the case. That has not changed. What we have seen probably is a little bit of a change. We probably going back 10 years, we used to talk about the reverse Z, the top of the Z being the M62 corridor, the bottom being the sort of M4 corridor. But whichever philosophy you adopt, the reality is occupiers want to get goods into the middle of the country and transport them from there. We're looking to increase our southeast exposure. And then we have one or two outposts like Newcastle and Norwich and Glasgow. We've got one in Glasgow. But fundamentally, the people of Glasgow and the people of Newcastle need parcels like the people of Lewisham or Newham or anywhere else. So we'd rather have the best building in Newcastle than the worst building in Newham. So we're very focused on the buildings themselves. Do they work? Is the loading provision right? You know, these are all the mistakes that people make that don't really understand this sector. So here's just a few examples of what we do and to an extent how we do it. So we bought one, as I said earlier, we like UK domestics, we like essential goods. So this is a building let to Boots, a pharmacist. They've put, I think, £9 million of fit out, Christopher?
£9.5 million. Yeah.
So we like our tenants to invest in our buildings. This was one where it was in a portfolio. It was a vacant but refurbished building along with five others. And we knew that from our discussions with Boots that we could agree a lease with them. So the rent, relatively modest, at £4.94. And the reason was they wanted a soft entry rent because they were investing a lot in the building. We were quite happy with that because obviously we'll capture it at the next review. Strata Chesterfield is a subsidiary of RPC Containers. Again, this used to be the Trebor Suites building, part high bay, part lower bay, still very, very fit for purpose, modern building. Can't really see there, but there's a good trailer park there for which we don't charge them any extra rent, but that's a rare commodity these days is to find those vehicle parking lots which are so sought after. But the rent's only £3.97 per square foot. So again, we'll move that forward as time goes on. Nuneaton is one which, again, we bought in a portfolio. I should say every single deal we've done bar one have been off market. And a lot of the income fund investors can't believe we can buy off market in a sector that's so supposedly on fire. But you've got to remember, there's over £4 billion worth of stock traded annually in this space, and we're only looking to acquire a pretty small part of it. There's no category killer in this space. You know, if you go to big box, you've got Tritax probably buying half the market-ish. In this space, last year, I think we were the biggest buyer of stock, but tiny in the scheme of things. So this is one that was being refurbished as we bought it, and actually we had an approach from an occupier, from Cofresh, and we sold that on, showing a profit on cost of 21% and IRR of 24%. Bedford again is another interesting one. This was 3M, the post-it note manufacturers, sandpaper manufacturers, established industrial estate in Bedford. Bedford's a location which we really like. It can fundamentally serve the northern end of Greater London very comfortably via the A1 or the M1. And that new, or relatively new, link road between the A1 and the M1 has been a real game changer, actually. So a lot of occupiers now would rather pay £6 here than £12 at Hemel or £10 at Welling or whatever. This was a really badly marketed opportunity where it was the existing building of 180,000 square feet with 10 acres of development land. And it was neither fish nor fowl, really, because the development fraternity weren't really approached because it wasn't a pure development site as such. And the investor fraternity didn't like it because it didn't have any income. We acquired it, immediately subsold the development land to a developer we know. And we immediately also put in place a 15-year lease to ITLE, who run contracts for British Aerospace, Fisher & Paykel, and a couple of other very large covenants. So that's been hugely successful for us in terms of where our most recent valuation goes. The IRR will be in excess of 50% anyway. It's pretty sizable. So that's the sort of thing that we feel we can continue to do. So just talking about the supply chain revolution, and I touched in the panel session earlier on today, it is absolutely clear to anyone who's been in real estate for a very long time that we are relatively late cycle in terms of traditional real estate cycles. What's hugely different now is that we're seeing this structural shift in the way that we all procure things. And that is not changing. And even Christopher and I, in the early days, we made a very clear decision. We did not want a fashion retailer in our buildings. We know what happens to them in poor times. We've seen it all before. We don't believe that's an area we need to take any risk. That's not to say that DHL or XPO won't take a risk with them, but we don't want them contracted to us. So we're looking for very, very strong tenants. And fundamentally, what we're seeing is this contraction in supply leading to significant rental growth. Why are we seeing the contraction in supply? Because land values have doubled in the last 5 years. Because build costs have doubled in the last 7 years. Fundamentally, in round numbers, what that means is that as we develop at 20,000 square feet to the acre, or 2,000 square metres to the acre, if our land is £1 million an acre in, say, Leicester, then in our development appraisal, that element, the land element, must be £50. The construction element must be £60, because that's where build costs have got to. That's 110. If you then put in all the other costs that go with it, whether it be highways works, section 106 works, whatever, replacement stock today is £135 a foot. So we're very, very comfortable. If I tell you that our portfolio breaks back to about £57, £58 per square foot, you can see that we are well within that in terms of, you know, discount replacement cost. Now, some people will say, yeah, but you haven't got brand new shiny buildings like Tritax have. There's a simple reason for that, because actually we focus much more on whether the building works or not, rather than has it got a nice shiny tin roof. We have got some nice shiny tin roofs, and we know we can put nice shiny steel roofs on our buildings at a cost of between £10 and £12 a foot. What you can't do, if you've got a triangular-shaped yard, or you've got an hours of use restriction in favour of some local residents, you can do nothing about that. And you will get found out. When a downturn comes and you get a building back, you will find out. And it's not a question then of whether you can get £6 a square foot, it's whether you can let it. And we know that from you know, past experiences. So huge lack in supply currently, which is why we've, as I say, we keep rolling these leases over. Planning control, very restrictive. And even if the planners were to release more land, it still takes a long time to get all those other consents that you need to bring land forward. So we're seeing, yes, significant rental growth coming through following, you know, because of the factors we talked about earlier on. Take up 82% higher in 2018 than 2017. To give you an idea, total take up in the UK last year was 33 million square feet. 8.5 million square feet was in this space, in this smaller space. And if I tell you that the amount of speculative development going on this year only totals 2.5 million square feet, you can see how constrained the market is. And obviously some geographies are particularly shorter than others. E-commerce is driving 62% of all distribution warehouse take-up, and East Midlands has accounted for about 37%. And fundamentally, that's because land typically has been slightly cheaper in the East Midlands and the availability of labour has been better. And I can't tell you how important labour is. Labour is 35 to 40% of an occupier's overhead. Rent is about 10 to 15. So, you know, everybody gets fixated about rents and, you know, why will tenants just accept your rental offer? Because fundamentally, if the labour's there, then the rent is actually not the biggest part of the story. Internet sales up 15% year on year. I'm not qualified to tell you where e-commerce is going, but what we have seen is the huge increase in the business to business element of it. You know, when we first set out on this journey, we probably had a lot of our customers would not have had an online platform in the way that they do now. So that sort of manufacturer, wholesaler, retailer, customer chain has been eroded forever in a lot of cases. 3 times more warehousing space required by retailers with an online platform versus a store-based strategy. So again, that's adding further pressure. And these smaller buildings are the ones that are outperforming. Higher demand than big box, high cost of replacement. Typically, these are more expensive to build than their bigger counterparts. Supply remains tight with rental growth coming through significantly now. And as I say, our passing rent is £4.90 per square foot. So we fully expect our assets to continue to drive rental growth. And our story is very much part income and part capital appreciation. And we're not stupid enough to think that investment yields are going to keep coming in over the next 5 years. But what we do know is if we take a shorter lease and we make it longer, it is worth more. And we know that if we take a short lease and make it longer at any point in any property cycle, you will get yield compression. It's just whether it goes from 8 to 7 or 7 to 6 or whatever. So in summary, we've been delivering strong returns since IPO in April 16. We've invested the proceeds of our equity raises very quickly. And we've kept recycling assets once we've done our asset management and recycling that equity. We continue to target assets with potential for higher rents and longer leases. And we want to grow a portfolio with a diverse tenant mix and a broad geographic spread. Rental growth will come through experienced asset management. And as I say, that will continue regardless of where we are in the cycle. The management team is very experienced. And I think we've already proved that we can do what we said we would do back in 2016. The economic case is still very, very strong. Supply constraint, strong demand. Acquisitions at 30 to 70% of replacement cost will always stand us in good stead, regardless of what happens. And the demand and capital value is underpinned by a structural development in terms of the way we procure things. That's what's driving this, and that is not going to change anytime soon. The rising cost of materials and land is making a significant barrier to entry for competition. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.